This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another Arkfield Week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a unique live musical experience tracing the roots of the civil rights movement in America, a tribute to a guardian of our city's music culture, or a little dance instruction, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. A multimedia retrospective of the civil rights movement takes to the stage on Martin Luther King Jr. weekend as the Contemporary Arts Center and Junebug Productions host Soundtrack 63. The event is part installation, live music, and edutainment as it journeys from 1963 to the present. Joining me by phone from New York is curator Chen Lowe. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Tell me, what conversations do you hope to generate with this production that spans more than 50 years of struggle and triumphs in the African-American community?
And actually, it spans even longer because, you know, we have to give folks context for what brought about or what created some of the tension, some of the triumphs, some of the accomplishments of the 60s. So we start before and actually explore the African-American experience in America from the transatlantic slave trade through 1963 and then onward into contemporary time. And in terms of the conversations that I hope people have, you know, I think this piece really makes a poignant statement and then begs an important question. You know, many people say that we've come so far, and I think Soundtrack 63 asks the question, but how far have we come?
How do you present this, and what are the elements of the multimedia experience?
Imagine, if you will, an 18-piece orchestra on stage in front of you that includes a very strong 4-person vocal chamber. We've got a traditional rhythm section, a 4-string section, and we have a horn section as well. And then we have a few featured guest artists that make appearances throughout the production. You're hearing everything from traditional African-American spirituals, indigenous African rhythms, blues, you're hearing soul, you're hearing jazz, some of which is mixed with hip-hop. You're hearing hip-hop in and of itself in its essence, and all of the forms of the Black American music tradition. On a large screen behind the orchestra, you're seeing a 3-screen multimedia visual installation that includes graphics, animation, video, and still photos that ushers us through our experience. So you're basically seeing an interactive documentary that's scored by a live orchestra in front of you and being performed.
And who are some of the guest artists and performers we'll hear from?
So you'll hear from Abby Odun Oyewole, one of the members of the original Last Coast. He's traveling with us. He has a very amazing piece that he does to commemorate the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church and the death of the 4 little girls. He does it to John Coltrane's rendition of Alabama. He does a live spoken word piece over that. You'll also hear from Sonny Patterson, a New Orleans native, you know, spoken word artist, hip-hop artist, and all-around creative. She'll be there as well. There's a young up-and-coming artist by the name of Ryan Davis, who will also make an appearance. He's from New Orleans as well. Our string section is from New Orleans. Our horn section is from New Orleans. Troy Sawyer, a prominent horn player. And one other thing that's really exciting is we're going to have a feature performance by Madonna 35 High School Choir.
Will there be a guest performance or a guest appearance by Dr. Cornel West?
Dr. Cornel West actually appears in the visual. So we had the great opportunity to interview Dr. Cornel West around some of these issues and to ask him how he thought the civil rights movement had been successful. Sonia Sanchez, I had the opportunity to interview her as well. And she speaks about her experience organizing and is coming to understand her own consciousness and coming to understand her own ability and her own responsibility to struggle and how that informed her art. So you'll see their interviews presented in the multimedia installation that will occur while the music is being played.
Can you tell us about some of the untold stories of New Orleans civil rights history that will be highlighted in the event?
One of the major pieces that will be highlighted is actually the Free Southern Theater that was influenced by the folks who were in the actual civil rights movement in New Orleans and how they decided to use art, poetry, theater, and music to move some of the very powerful themes that were moving through the African-American community at the time. The Woolworths protest that happened in New Orleans as well will be highlighted. And then as well, we're going to highlight some of the contemporary things that happened. We're going to be dealing with Katrina, and we're going to deal with the Danziger Bridge incident. You'll see that as well, and some other incidents that have happened to galvanize the New Orleans community that fit into this tradition.
What would Dr. King think of this retrospective, and how would he view the current state of Black America?
I think Dr. King would appreciate this retrospective. I think what we've attempted to do is to be honest, to juxtapose then and now in a very poignant, distilled way so people can really see things for what they are. In our society, I think people, a lot of things go unspoken. Sometimes people are living in illusions about the progress that's been made. That's not to say that no progress has been made, but I think we live in an illusion that more progress has been made than actually has occurred. And I think Dr. King would appreciate that honesty and then the presentation of it, our impulse, you know, our urge to really want to connect with young people. I think that would be appreciated as well. And in terms of what Dr. King would say about race relations today in America, it's difficult. Honestly, it's hard for me to say what he would think, but I know speaking to other elders who are around right now who respected Dr. King and other civil rights leaders of the time, you know, some are disappointed. Others believe that great things are happening. There's a cross-section of opinion of where we are, but I think the truth of the matter is things can always get better and they need to get better given the current state of things. The proof is always in the pudding, you know, and the evidence of all the cases that have littered the country of abuse, police brutality, et cetera, and the continued racism and discrimination that occurs in this country daily are indications that we still have much work to do.
What is your hope for the future of race relations in America, and how can art foster change?
I feel like art has the ability to help people elevate above their current circumstance and to reimagine what could be, then to begin shaping their lives around that possibility. I think in terms of race relations in America, America has had a difficult time reconciling its racial past. I think it's been dishonest with itself about the tragic and very brutal and destructive racial past and the impact that it has had on people, the generational legacy, the space and place that it's put them in. And I feel like before real progress happens, we have to remove the illusion that, you know, maybe the media has created that progress is so grand and so great and everyone is participating in the American dream, and really, really deeply reconcile the pain of the past in a way that's going to be constructive, in a way that's going to allow people to move forward. And, you know, quite frankly, for people of African descent, our relationship with America has to be renegotiated, reorganized, and rethought.
Soundtrack 63 curator Chen Lo, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity, and we're really looking forward to sharing this piece in the world.
For my culture, my generation, something for the soldiers, a little dedication. It's for the elders, all the trailblazers.
Soundtrack 63, a multimedia cultural and artistic retrospective of the civil rights movement, opens Saturday with performances running through Monday at the Contemporary Arts Center, 900 Camp Street. More info online at cacno.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. At venues around town, local musicians are gearing up for the second annual Danny Barker Banjo and Guitar Festival, a four-day birthday tribute for the late NEA jazz master who passed away in 1994. Joining me now is acclaimed guitarist and festival organizer, Detroit Brooks. Welcome.
Well, thank you, and good afternoon to you, Ms. Mack.
And congratulations on the second anniversary of this festival. What are your thoughts as the event is taking root?
It feels great to honor Danny and live in his legacy.
Well, tell us about the iconic New Orleans jazz guitarist, banjoist, and storyteller, Danny Barker, whose career spans some seven decades. Who was he, and how did he help to shape the city's music culture?
Well, he was very important as a teacher and a leader, especially to the youth of New Orleans. He shaped them. For instance, names like Dr. Michael White, Greg Stafford, Lucian Barbarin, Shannon Powell, Hurley. We can go on. Danny nurtured these young people and made them realize that it was more to the music than just playing an instrument. You know, it was a lifelong career. And it was a venture that if you endeavored to do it, you really needed to know what you were doing. So Danny made them become aware of that and become more of ambassadors than just ordinary musicians just going to play.
What is Danny Barker best remembered for?
He was a comedian, you know. he liked to do practical jokes. a great musician, storyteller.
I hear he was quite the storyteller. Is there a story that you can recount maybe for us that would give us a little insight into Danny's personality?
Well, most of the time I was around Danny and I was younger and he was telling adult stories. I met Danny through my uncle-in-law at the time, Ernie Cagnoletti. He used to have house parties. He said Danny was on Shear Street and Ernie was on St. Denis Street. And most of the time he would have his parties, Danny was invited to his party. So he came and he would tell jokes. But most of the jokes that he told at the time were adult. And one story I can maybe say is they were over in the islands with Leo Nocentelli. Leo said he took him to a jewelry store. And he was standing up and he asked him, he said, "Do you like that ring right there?" And said Leo said, "I love that ring right there." So he said, "I'll be right back." So he walks off and he goes to the lady jeweler. And he tells her, "This guy want to buy this ring," but the ring was $32,000. And so when the lady came back and she takes the ring out for Leo to look at, and she said, "I was told that you want to purchase this ring." Well, Leo was a regular musician, so how could he buy a $32,000? You know, so it was things he'd done like that and stories that people would tell you of Danny.
He was quite a character.
Yeah, was he? Yeah.
Now, did you actually play with Danny Barker at some point?
No, I never got a chance to play publicly with him, but at the parties, he would come and sit in, bring his banjo sometime. Sometimes it was just to come and tell stories, but my uncle had parties on a regular because he was a musician also. He was a trumpet player with Preservation Hall. So when he would have the parties, Danny would come over. Me being the guitarist, I would go over, and my brother-in-law at the time was Edward Johnson. He played trombone, so we would form a group and play. And Danny would come and sit in.
So what was it like to play music with Danny Barker at a house party?
Amazing. It was amazing just to hear him, you know.
What are some of your favorite Danny Barker tunes? What are most memorable for you?
Save the Bone for Henry Jones. Cowboy, Don't You Feel My Leg. That's one of the most popular ones. There's so many songs. Here's the way that he sung the songs. There is no one that can sing no song like Danny Barker.
Tonight I'm gonna give a supper. We'll eat some food that's rare. And at the head of the table, I'm gonna place Brother Henry's chair. I'm gonna invite all the local big dogs. We're gonna laugh, we're gonna talk, we're gonna eat. Then I'm gonna rake up the bones for Henry Jones, 'cause Henry doesn't eat no meat.
I see you brought your guitar. Maybe you care to play?
Yes, I would love to do When You're Smiling. That's one of the songs that really personally affects me, because that's what we need in the world today, more smiling. And I think Danny would appreciate that. When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, keep on laughing, and the sun will come shining through. But when you're crying, it brings on the rain. Stop your crying and be happy again. When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Now tell me, what's on tap? This is a festival that's running 4 days, and I believe it kicks off at Snug Harbor with a birthday tribute to Danny Barker.
Right. And we have performing on that Greg Stafford, Shannon Powell, Kerry Lewis, Lucian Barbaran, which is a relative of Danny's, Don Vappy, Roger Paulin, Steve Mazakowski is going to be a special guest because, you know, he was presented a guitar from Danny. You know, we have also several Vanette and Mari Watanabe, pianist. She's going to be playing, too. So we're going to have a full house that night.
Wow. And it continues for several more nights. What else is on tap?
We do clinics at UNO and NOCA. The clinics will be hosted by Steve Mazurkowski. We'll have Carl LeBlanc and David Bandrowski that will be the clinicians for that particular program. And at NOCA, we will have Don Vappi and Sever Vernet, and it will be hosted by Michael Pallaro. And then that afternoon on the 15th, we will have a panel discussion at the Palm Court, moderated by Fred Caston. On the panel, we will have Chris Savane, the drummer in Danny's band. He will be there, though, speaking about his experience with Danny. Greg Stafford, Roger Dickerson, Lucian Barbaran, Fred Johnson, Leroy Jones, and to be followed by some music from the band.
Wow. And there is a special tribute to Danny and his wife, Lulu Barker, next week on January 22nd, I believe, featuring the internationally acclaimed recording artist, Maria Muldaur.
Yes. Yes, it will be. And she also has special guests, Solid Harmony. I will perform, and her band will be Chris Atkins, Roland Guerin, and Michael Essenow.
So, tell me, what would Danny Barker think about all this fuss over his birthday?
He probably said, y'all just keep it up. Fellas, y'all just keep it up. Y'all done a good job.
Why is it important that we remember Danny Barker and his music?
We go different places and we talk to people, even some people here in New Orleans. They don't know anything about Danny. They don't know his contribution to the culture. So we realize that you don't hear Danny like you hear Louis or you hear George Lewis, you know, and it's time that we remember. I feel that Danny should be known as a humanitarian.
Guitarist and festival organizer Detroit Brooks, thanks.
And thank you.
The Danny Barker Banjo and Guitar Festival 2016 gets underway Thursday with an all-star musical tribute at Snug Harbor, celebrating the 107th anniversary of Danny Barker's birth. More info on festival events and venues can be found online at DannyBarkerFestival.com. All That Music might make you want to dance, and the New Orleans Ballet Association is dedicated to the art of dance. Now through community partnerships, NOBA is expanding its annual classes, workshops, and performances in the metro area. Joining me now is NOBA's Executive Director, Jenny Hamilton. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
This must be a very exciting time for you as the New Orleans Ballet Association is able to reach out to more members of the community who are interested in the art of dance. What is being offered and who is eligible to participate?
Well, the newest center as part of our programs and our partnership with NORD is the Rosenwald NORD Center. So that is just opening up for programming this month, and registrations are going to be held on site on the 14th. And so classes are being held for children starting at age 5, and it is ballet and jazz classes. So we're really excited because most of our classes and the rest of the centers, we offer classes now at 8 NORD centers. The rest of them start at age 6. So this is going to start at age 5. That's open to any child in the parish, completely tuition free.
How are you able to reach out to more people in the community that may be interested in dance?
This is a 24-year partnership that we've had with NOR that was established in 1992 to literally level the playing field, making it possible for any child in the community to be able to take and experience high-quality dance education and training. So we've had tremendous support by our board of directors and by the funding community who really believe in the art of dance and the power of dance to affect change and make an impact in a child's life, and to be able to provide not only exposure to the arts, but exercise and health and nutrition and those things that are going to enhance a child's life long term. We also offer classes in partnership with the Broadmoor Arts and Wellness Center, as well as the St. Bernard Parish School System in Chalmette, and the Kenner Discovery Health Sciences Academy in Jefferson Parish. So these classes are offered tuition-free, completely open to the community in 3 different parishes on a weekly basis.
What are your thoughts as the program continues to grow?
Attendance now in all the classes that we offer across the community averages between 1,800 and 1,900 a week. And these are classes that start with ages, an early childhood program at the Lions Center, all the way up to our senior dance fitness program at 4 NORD centers. So this is exercise, health and nutrition, dance training classes that are offered to the entire community on a weekly basis, We consider it an honor. We consider it a privilege to be able to be part of the community in all of these neighborhoods and to be able to continue to reach deeply into the community and work with our families and make the level of impact that we know dance can make.
So this is not just a program geared to young children.
No, it's not. The new center at Rosenwald is classes for children, but yes, we have classes for early childhood, for youth. We have 7 open classes a week for adults in yoga, tai chi, ballet, modern, Haitian, and these are at NOR centers as well across the community, and this senior dance fitness program that this year is going to serve about 450 senior citizens, ages 55. We're generous on that. Ages 55 and up. It is a program that serves the entire community.
And, you know, NOBA is known for bringing world-class dance companies and artists to New Orleans, but the dance education arm of the organization may not be as well known. Why is the education arts program important to the company?
The education programs and what we provide in the community really are the heart and soul of this organization. I think the companies that we bring in, the Avenelli American Dance Theaters, Dance Theater of Harlem, Twyla Tharp, all of these companies from around the world are the high-profile part of what NOBA does. These are some of the best dance companies in the world, and we are honored to bring them to the community and put them on the stage. Also, they work extensively in the community with our youth programs as well. For instance, 14 students just danced with Dance Theater of Harlem in November as part of their 2 lecture demonstrations in the community. These are very unique opportunities that are provided as part of the Chevron Master Artist Series, which is a year-round program that brings some of the very best artists in the world to New Orleans to work with these students in the Chevron Studio as part of the Nord NOBA Center for Dance. We just finished a residency with a professor of dance from Juilliard and SUNY Purchase in the studio working with our students and then talking to the students and parents about opportunities in higher education for dance and how dance can be a career for these students. So there is a very interesting and innovative integration of our youth programs and our education programs with our main stage programs. So it's very important that we continue to provide the level of exposure to our youth, to our community at large, about the opportunities for advancement in dance beyond what the training is here.
Jenny Hamilton, Executive Director of the New Orleans Ballet Association. Thanks.
Thank you.
More information on student registration, classes, and locations is online at nobadance.com. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.